Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know I need your love. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Ryan McDonough. He's a radio.com sports insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. He joins us now. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Everything's good, John and Jason. I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's an exciting week in Memphis, and especially for the Grizzlies on Thursday night.
There's no question about that. Get to that in just a moment. But in terms of the weekend, is this just the summer of small markets in the NBA? I mean, that is not typically a haul that you see that a small market get back in return, especially when they're in many ways sort of bent over a barrel. What did you think of the weekend and the deal for the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think it's what most people in the league expected would happen eventually, guys, with Anthony Davis ending up in the Lakers. And the question was, would it be in the short term in a trade over the next year or so, or the next 7 or 8 months before the trade deadline in February, or in free agency next summer in 2020, would AD go to the Lakers as a free agent? And I think if the Lakers looked at the free agent market, and at this point, guys, as you know, you have a feel for who you might be in play for or not on the team side. They looked at the market and said, well, you know, Kevin Durant's out for the year. He's injured. You know, they probably weren't getting great feedback about Kyrie Irving or maybe Jimmy Butler, some of the other elite free agents. So they made the move they had to make by bringing in Anthony Davis. As you guys mentioned, they paid a lot. I thought it was a very good deal for New Orleans. You know, the Lakers obviously got the better of the deal in the short term with Anthony Davis being one of the top 5 or 10 players in the league. But long term, that deal could really pay off for the Pelicans. I'm a big fan of Lonzo Ball. They get the fourth pick in this year's draft as well. In addition to Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart, and those future firsts from the Lakers could really pay off, because you guys remember what happened with the Brooklyn Nets-Boston Celtics deal in 2013 and how that ended up working out for Boston.
Yep.
So the Lakers put themselves in a little bit of a risky position by committing picks that far out.
Ryan, what do? If you're the Lakers, how do you spend the rest of that money? Do you go out and try to get a Kimba? I don't know how likely that is. Like you said, it feels like Kyrie's an option that's off the table now. Or do you spend that money on depth? Do you spread it around? What would you do, Ryan?
I think I would chase a third star, and I think it has to be a backcourt player. And Kemba, of that grouping, Kemba Walker is probably the best fit, given his age and productivity. As you guys know, he basically carried the Charlotte Hornets over the past few years on his back. Now, the issue, guys, is financially, they're going to be short of Kemba's max number.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba would leave a lot of money on the table if Charlotte doesn't offer him a 4-year max, or even he's eligible for the 5-year super max, which starts at about $38 million. The Lakers, I'm projecting their cap space to be somewhere between $23.6 and $27.7 million. So Kemba would be leaving a lot of money on the table to go to L.A. And, you know, he's a guy who's been underpaid over the last 4 years. Kemba was only making about $12 million a year in Charlotte. He signed a rookie scale extension before he blew up. So he's a guy that, you know, as he gets closer to his 30s, I think will want to get as much money as possible.
Yeah.
But that won't stop the Lakers from trying to recruit him.
You know, you mentioned the sort of limits, right, on the salary cap that the Lakers have. There's been a narrative the last few months about people wanting to play with LeBron, people not wanting to play with LeBron. I mean, this is where we find out, right? This is the time we find out exactly how much pull LeBron still has, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And how much, if at all, are players willing to sacrifice to play with him? You know, so they'll be able to field out a team. But keep in mind, guys, it's not like they just need one guy. I mean, they sent out a lot of their depth in this trade. If you look at their roster now, it's basically just LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma. They have some young, unproven players like Mo Wagner and Isaac Bonga, who they got in the draft last year. But they need high-end talent, or a third high-end talent would be ideal, but they also need depth.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, I'm also aggressively going after guys whose market may be above a minimum contract, looking at players like Wayne Ellington or Garrett Temple, you guys had in Memphis, or looking at solid players and trying to convince them to sacrifice a little bit of money financially in order to play alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis and hopefully compete for championships in L.A.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that before. So given all of that, we've never seen Anthony Davis and LeBron play together. Obviously, Anthony Davis has had health problems in the past. They still have so much they have to do roster-wise. Does it surprise you that Vegas was so quick to crown them as the odds-on favorite for next season?
A little bit, but as you guys know, I don't think the folks in Vegas who set the lines, and they seem to be very good at it from what I can tell, it doesn't seem like they necessarily do what they think's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They do what will stimulate the most action and the most money coming in. So I think moving the Lakers aggressively like that was probably due to a run of cash coming in on the Lakers. You guys know the national fan base or even international fan base and following the Lakers have. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Right now, guys, I think the Western Conference is wide open with the injuries to Golden State. The team that if I had to, you know, you put a gun to my head and said pick one team who's the front runner at this point, this might surprise some people, but I'd actually go with Houston because I think the Rockets' only roadblock the past few years has been in Golden State. Now the Warriors are looking a little bit depleted, at least in the short term. So I think if, you know, as of June 17th, I'd put Houston as the favorite in the West next year.
Ryan, I got to ask you, how many points, how much credit does Pelinka get from one former GM to watching what the situation with him? Like you said, many of us expected this deal was going to happen sooner or later. He did keep Kuzma. Does he get credit in this deal? A few weeks ago, we're all looking at him like, can he get the job done?
Yeah, Rob Pelinka should get some credit for this deal, guys. And you know, there's the old adage that whichever team got the best player won the deal. And clearly the Lakers got the best player in this deal in Anthony Davis. Now, that being said, there is a lot of risk for the Lakers, as I mentioned. If you look at the pick protections, especially going to the future, you know, the Pelicans get the number four pick this year, unless they trade it again before Thursday night, which is also a possibility. But the Pelicans get the Lakers' 2021 pick only if it's in the top eight. And if not, they get an unprotected pick in 2022. They also have an unprotected pick swap in 2023. An unprotected first in 2024 that they could defer to 2025. So, you know, as you guys know, 2025 is a long time from now. That's 6 years from now. Yep. Will Anthony Davis still be in his prime and be healthy? I think there's a good chance that he is, but there's also a chance he gets injured or is playing somewhere else at that point. I think there's a very good chance that LeBron James is not the MVP candidate that we've all come to expect over the last 10 or 15 years. Right. So I give Rob Pelinka credit. It's a star market in L.A. They have two of the top 10 players in the league. So, like I said, short term, this is great for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Long term, it could look very different 3 or 4 years from now.
With you, Ryan. We are, of course, talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports Insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. It's hard to get a read on Kawhi Leonard, obviously, but he does have a decision to make this summer. Toronto, obviously, coming off an NBA title. What makes sense for him? Does it make sense for him to stay in Toronto? A lot of people have said the Clippers. When you sort of survey the options that he's going to have, Ryan, what to you makes the most sense?
What makes the most sense to me, guys, is staying in Toronto on a short-term deal. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you look at Toronto's salary cap sheets, they have a lot of players coming off the books after next season. Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, who you guys know better than anybody, if Mark opts into his contract at about $26 million. So if I were Kawhi and willing to bet on myself and, you know, we're pursuing championships as the most important thing on my list, I would sign what's called a 1+1 in the NBA. It's a two-year deal, but only the first year is guaranteed. The second year is a player option. So Kawhi could opt in or opt out a year from now and, you know, just run it back with the Raptors. And I think if I were Kawhi, that would be even more appealing, again, given the injury to Golden State and how open the entire league looks at this point with Toronto as the defending champions.
What's the deal with what would you say with Boston? I realize they've got it's silly to almost try to criticize Ainge, right? Because they've got so much, there's still a war chest there, but I feel like a little bit of their window's closed. Like maybe they should have been in the spot that Toronto was in this year. How would you grade the job Danny's done so far? He just hasn't pulled the trigger, right? I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Well, keep in mind, guys, I'm very biased to Danny Ainge because I worked alongside him for 10 years, and we won a championship together in 2008. I think he's done a great job of gathering assets. They've had a few big hits at the top of the lottery with guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think the Kyrie situation is unfortunate. Now, coming into the year, I predicted them, along with most people, to be the favorite in the Eastern Conference and be playing the Warriors in the finals. And for whatever reason, the chemistry wasn't there, and I know internally, they're disappointed in how Kyrie acted and some of his mood swings, and it seemed like he changed his mind a lot. You guys remember the now infamous line, especially now that it looks like he's walking out the door in free agency, that, you know, in the preseason, he said, I'll come back, I'll stay if you guys will have me. And the crowd went nuts. It was at a Celtics season ticket holder event. And then I think it was by January or February, Kyrie saying, you know, I don't really owe anybody bleep.
Yep.
So that was a pretty stunning change, I think, internally over the first 4 or 5 months of the season. So Danny's done a good job. They'll be good either way, guys, because of, again, the presence of Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Marcus Smart. I think they'll look to re-sign Al Horford. Horford has a player option. But I think as of now, it would be hard to say they're a championship contender unless something happens that's a little bit unforeseen, like Gordon Hayward returning to his All-Star status as one of the best 15 or 20 players in the league.
Yeah. Ryan, as somebody who's been in charge of a front office, if you're the Knicks or the Nets or whoever, you know, Kevin Durant may ultimately consider when that situation comes up, if he even does enter into free agency, how do you navigate that situation? Like, what are the things that you have to consider? Does or should anything change with the injury? I'm just curious how you would even begin to sort of navigate that situation.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with the Knicks in particular, guys, they're all in on KD, or they're all in on whoever the best free agents are that they can get, they're going to try to get. And I can't remember a team being this aggressive in one sector, and by that I mean just in free agency. You know, the Knicks with the trade they made with Dallas in season, sending Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks, a big part of that deal, as you guys know, was offloading some undesirable contracts and creating cap space for this summer's free agency. So they were able to do that. But, you know, now let's look at how things have changed over the next 4 or 5 months. Kevin Durant is injured, not for the year. Klay Thompson, who most people, including myself, predict will resign in Golden State, is injured and probably out for next year as well. Kyrie Irving looks like he's leaning toward Brooklyn. So the Knicks have a lot of eggs in this free agent basket, and so I think they'll still be super aggressive going at KD. If he has to sit a year, fine. As long as they get him on a 3 or 4 year deal, I think the Knicks would be okay on that, even if it means punting on next season, if they'd have 2 or 3 healthy years from Kevin Durant at the back end of that contract.
Ryan, if I put you in the Grizz front office, and you've obviously got the opportunity to draft Ja Morant with the number 2 pick, we all think that's what's going to happen. What would you be looking for in terms of framework of a deal for Mike Conley? Would you bring him back for a little while? Have him, because we heard some people say, "Well, I'd like him with Ja. Maybe you can teach him." How would you approach that situation?
You know, that's a really interesting question, guys, and I think it all depends on your ownership and their how patient they're willing to be and their risk tolerance. And what I mean by that is, if you trade Mike Conley, you have a very talented young player in Jaren Jackson, who, as you guys know, was the 4th pick in the draft last year, and we spent a lot of time on Jaren when I was general manager of the Phoenix Suns in contention for the number 1 pick. That's how we felt about Jaren Jackson. So I think he's a very talented young player. I think Ja Morant is the second best player in this draft,
okay.
And frankly, the only one I thought at least spent some time thinking about ahead of Zion Williamson at number 1. I ended up slotting Morant in 2, but I think he's a great building block for the Grizzlies. So I think if I'm Zach Kleiman or Rich Cho or Glenn Grunwald in the front office for Memphis, I'm going to Robert Pera and saying, look, you know, we can trade Mike. He's been the heart and soul of our franchise for a long time. He plays well on the court. He represents the franchise well off the court. But if we do that, it means we're not going to be very good for the next 2 or 3 years. But we think we could bring back a lot of young assets and talent and have one of the better teams in the league, but that may not be until 2022 or 2023. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that, Mr. Purr? And, you know, I've been there, guys. I've seen owners say they are and then change their mind when the losses pile up. Mm-hmm. If not, I think the other option, guys, is to trade Conley for a package that's maybe is not favorable as far as draft compensation, but is favorable in terms of players that can help you win in the short term. And I'll give you an example, like what the Clippers did when they sent Blake Griffin to Detroit. They got some pick assets. They used one of those picks to take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but they also got Tobias Harris, and they did something similar with Chris Paul in the deal with Houston. So he kept the team competitive, let them rebuild on the fly without bottoming out, which is an interesting strategy and a good way to go if you can pull it off.
There is a report out there right now that the Grizzlies are intensifying talks to move Mike Conley this week, and it sounds like the Jazz are the front runners to acquire Mike in this scenario. Does that sound like a move that makes sense to you, Ryan?
It does, especially from the Jazz perspective. There were talks between those two teams around the trade deadline. I believe members of the front office in Utah felt they were close to a deal with Memphis. And, you know, if you look at Utah's roster, they have two young stars in Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Ricky Rubio, their point guard, is going to be a free agent. Now the question is, what is good enough in return for Memphis to send Mike Conley out? You know, the Jazz are a perennial playoff team in the Western Conference. Given the age and talent and health of Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, potential. It looks like they'll be pretty good, if not very good, for a long time. So as I look at the rest of the roster, that's the tricky part for me. I understand for sure why the Jazz would want Mike Conley. I'm just not sure what Utah has, other than maybe a bunch of picks that'll probably be somewhere in the 20s that would satisfy Memphis in a deal like that.
This felt like a deal that made way more sense at the deadline as opposed to right now, because they have a lot of expiring contracts that obviously they won't be able to move during draft week. So it'll be interesting to see sort of what they do from here. You mentioned John Morant is the number two guy on your board. What do you see in John Morant?
I see a lot I like, guys. I see speed, explosiveness, creativity with the ball. I love his passing ability and passing flair. He's able to wrap left-handed hook passes to the corner and make some pretty high-level reads that I usually only see from veteran point guards in the NBA. He's good at getting to the free-throw line and making his free-throw attempts. He shot 81% this year from the line on over 8 free-throw attempts per game. So he's the number two prospect on my board. He plays what I consider the most important position in today's NBA at the point guard slot. He's got good size and athleticism. Now, he's not perfect. There'll be some growing pains along the way. He does turn the ball over a lot. I think he led the country with 5.2 turnovers a game, and keep in mind a lot of that was versus low and mid-major competition. When I broke down the film, I saw him also try to make the spectacular play when the simple one would have been more effective. But he's a big-time prospect. He plays a very important position, and that would be a great way for Memphis, if they do decide to move on from Mike Conley, to backfill with Ja, give him the ball from day one, let him and Jaren Jackson play through the mistakes and grow together, and hopefully whatever they bring back from Utah or another team, if they do send Conley out, we'll give him some more pieces to build around those two guys.
Ryan, we're with you 100% on Ja. How concerned would you be about the knee and the sort of the scope, that loose body? He's an investment, obviously, and Lord knows we're worried about knees around here in Memphis, Ryan. What, no concern at all, would you, if you were the guy taking him?
Well, keeping in mind, I haven't seen the medical or don't have a lot of information, sure, beyond what you guys have. If it is just a scope where they're removing loose bodies and there's no structural damage, I would not be particularly concerned about it. But I would be talking to Jim Tanner, Ja's agent, who's very experienced for Tandem Sports, and asking to see as much medical information as I can, even seeing if Tanner and Morant would allow maybe Memphis's team doctors or mutually agreed upon doctor look at Morant's knee, give him an MRI, put him through some tests just to make sure it's sound and that they don't have any long-term concerns. But again, if it's just as reported, loose bodies with a scope, that's not that concerning. And in fact, it's something where, depending on what Memphis wants to do, I think he could potentially be ready for summer league. So I'm taking the long view with a 19-year-old kid who doesn't turn 20 until August and saying if the knee's going to be good for the next 10 or 15 years, even if he misses the summer, that's okay. We're looking at Ja Morant as a long-term investment.
No, there's no question about that. And then last thing, Ryan, the Grizzlies hired a coach last week, Taylor Jenkins. What is his reputation around the league? How familiar are you with him?
Yeah, I don't know Taylor that well, guys, but I do know Mike Budenholzer, one of Taylor's mentors, very well. In fact, when we had a coaching search in Phoenix last year in 2018, when I was general manager of the Suns, we spent a lot of time with Mike Budenholzer, and at one point I thought we were close to hiring him as the head coach of the Suns. He obviously ended up in Milwaukee and has done great things there. But one of the things that came up in our conversations with Budenholzer was how valuable he thought Taylor Jenkins was. Mm-hmm. And those guys worked together in San Antonio in the Spurs organization. He brought Taylor to Atlanta. Basically, Taylor did everything, according to Bud. He was kind of his chief of staff and could do a little bit of, offensive development, defensive drill, schemes, player development plans. He seems like a very well-rounded young coach. I like the fact that he's been a head coach in the G League in the Austin Spurs in San Antonio's organization. Yep. So I've heard great things about Taylor Jenkins. He's a worker. He's a grinder. And I think for a young team that looks like they're going to be rebuilding, having a young executive like Zach Kleiman and a young coach like Taylor Jenkins, and more importantly, two young studs like Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. to build around, I think gives Memphis a bright future, although, as you guys know, especially in the Western Conference, the short term might be a little bit painful because the league, especially the West, is pretty unforgiving.
There's no question about that. Ryan, man, this was great.
Wonderful,
appreciate
man.
The breakdown
Thank
and the
you.
Insight, as always, man. Thank you.
Yeah, John and Jason, appreciate you guys having me on.
Great
yes,
stuff.
He awesome. Is Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports Insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.